Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
How close did Rob Manfred come to stripping the Astros of their 2017 championship? Here is the commissioner in an interview with ESPN.
How much do you struggle with that decision, not to strip that away?
I don't, because, Carl, I think once you start down that road, and this is the last piece of it, once you start down that road, where you stop is a really difficult thing to figure out. Do you go back and, you know, every individual game, every series where someone, for example, broke the rules by using steroids, do I have to go back and clean all that up? It's just an impossible position to be in as an institution.
I actually agree with that line of thinking, especially in a sport like baseball, Seth, where cheating has been so prevalent. Honestly, since the game was invented back in the late 1800s. I mean,
if you go back and overturn every time a pitcher was using a substance.
Yeah, you know, every Gaylord Perry start.
Right, or in modern times.
Sure.
I mean, you read between the lines on it, and there's a whole lot of various things going on, which is always, and Manfred addressed several times, kind of the murky area that exists, and especially in 2017. I think that's one thing we've lost sight of. And again, I'm not excusing it, but one of the big points that Manfred made was that it was murkier in 2017 as to what was and was not allowed. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons they decided to give the players immunity was that it was very real. This was not a PR thing. The GM and the coach did not relay the information to the players that they were supposed to relay to the players. After the Red Sox and the Yankees were investigated for using technology, Luna was supposed to deliver a message to the players, and the message was never delivered. So there was this environment where everybody thought everybody else was doing some kind of, like, all kinds of chicanery with electronics, and the message was never delivered. So they said, all right, well, we're going to give the players a chance to speak freely about this.
In his press conference that he did with the media, that was, these cuts you're going to hear are from a sit-down interview with Carl Ravich of ESPN, where he says some of the same things that he did in his press conference. But the commissioner does this press conference every year. It's almost like what Goodell does at the Super Bowl every year, where he sort of gives the state of the league. Manfred does this in spring training every year. He happens to be doing it in the midst of one of the biggest scandals since steroids back in the early part of this century. And so a lot of the questions, a huge percentage of the questions at that press conference had to do with the Astros and with sign stealing and with the cheating. He was asked in that press conference about the thought, how much thought went into possibly stripping the Astros of the title. And the one thing that he said that I found, I don't know if surprising is the word, but as somebody who lives in Houston who does not want that title stripped, obviously, is he said they spent a lot of time thinking about it. He said if you took all of the things that they discussed in the meetings where they were talking about punishments for the Astros, that they, and if you broke it down in terms of the amount of minutes they spent discussing it, stripping the title was near the top of the list of topics that they discussed in the private sessions where they were coming up with what the punishment should be for the Astros. That's a little scary. Ultimately, it doesn't matter. They didn't do it, but wow, it would have been really interesting to hear.
Well, and he also talked about just how it stood in relation to other scandals throughout history, whether it's a White Sox, whether it's a Black Sox or anything like that. And that's where I guess I don't know if they were ever perilously close to losing it, but they talked about it. And this is how Manfred thought about it in relation to other scandals.
Where do you as the commissioner sort of put this scandal relative to steroids or the 1919 Black Sox scandal? Where does this fit in?
Well, you know, we actually talked a lot about trying to figure out an order there, because it helps you think through what should happen in terms of discipline. I think that the worst scandal has to be a scandal that involved people not trying to win, right? That's the worst possible thing that can happen. I think this comes in behind that, right behind it. And I think it's so serious because it's tangible. It's not like breaking a financial rule that applies to how many players you can sign in the Dominican Republic. Mm-hmm. This is about what happens on the field in a tangible way. And I put it so high on the list in terms of how serious it is because our fans can touch it. They feel it.
So there you go. The rationale makes sense to me, especially the part about not trying to win. Like if you have a team out there that's not trying to win,
right?
That strikes at you're wrestling at that point.
Right.
You're WWE.
You're screwing over the gamblers too. I feel like gamblers
depends on what side you're
gamblers,
on.
Gamblers, if you're a gambler, Sean, hypothetically say you're a gambler.
Yeah.
But I feel like
am I friends with Shoeless Joe Jackson?
I feel like a super smart gambler would have the advantage of the gambling baked in, or of the sign stealing baked in, that it would have worked out, even though a lot of the advanced stats don't really support that it was better at home versus on the road, whatever.
Right.
You would, that's kind of part of the game, and both teams are still trying to win at least.
Right.
Versus when one team just decides to lose, you're screwed. No amount of handicapping is going to protect you in that instance.
And the 1919 Chicago White Sox, Seth, were successful in losing the 1919 right. World Series.
Which is, again,
the Cincinnati Reds.
Bush League right there. The way to do it, if you're going to shave points, is that you shave points in games that you win.
Yeah.
If you're favored to win, you win by a little less.
Yeah.
That's actually the easiest to figure out, too, for the advanced mathematicians these days, because you're like, wait a second. How is this team consistently just playing so atrociously in the fourth quarter?
I'm on the baseballreference.com page for the 1919 Chicago White Sox. Their manager's name was Kid Gleason.
Okay.
That sounds like a wrestler's name, actually.
That's how they
weighing 230 pounds from the south side of Chicago, Kid Gleason.
You know, that's how the gamblers decided to target the White Sox, too. Right. It had nothing to do with anything other than, like, this kid sounds like somebody that would be into this.
The names, here are the names of the lineup of the 1919 Chicago Black Sox, the scandal-ridden Chicago Black Sox. These all sound like 1919 names. Ray Schalk at first base, huh? Chick Gandel at second base. Eddie Collins, no, I'm sorry, Chick Gandel at first base. Shortstop, Swede Risberg.
Swede. They got the Swede.
Third baseman, Buck Weaver. Hey, Buck, how you doing? Left field, Nemo Liebold. Center field, Shoeless Joe Jackson. Mm-hmm. And outfielder, right field, Happy Felch.
Oh, wow. Did any of those, how many of those guys actually went by their actual names?
I don't know. These are the names that baseballreference.com is using for them. Baseballreference.com includes Shoeless as Joe Jackson's first name, basically.
There's still historians within baseball, within Major League Baseball. I was reading quotes from one of them. There's a guy at Major League Baseball, one of his areas of expertise is still deciding whether or not Shoeless Joe Jackson should be readmitted into baseball.
Okay, here.
So this is going to be, and now, so here we are, how many years later, a century later, talking about the Swede and whatnot.
Right.
Is this going to be, are people going to be talking on whatever medium is common? Are people going to be telepathically transmitting the lineup from the 2017 Astros to some baseball fans 100 years from now?
And be like, yeah, they have this guy, Jose Altuve.
Jose Altuve.
What a funny name. Carlos Correa. You'll find this not surprising at all, that the four starting pitchers for the 1919 Chicago Black Sox, their first names, Eddie, Lefty, Red, and Grover.
Wow.
The most Grover's 1919 star. Grover Loudermilk.
Well, Grover was a common name until the damn Sesame Street ruined it. I mean, Grover, where you had a president
ruined
named
it. Grover.
Grover
was cuddly and delightful.
Right. And then is Grover a Sesame Street character?
Yes, he is. Yeah. He's
and now you can, once somebody becomes a Sesame Street character,
that's
you
true.
Can't use that name.
Kermit.
Especially Grover. Yeah. Grover looks like he needs Blue Chew, ironically enough. He just doesn't even look like that little look on his face. Like, you're just so beautiful, I guess. I get intimidated.
So back to Rob Manfred. Manfred sitting down with ESPN. Why did he name Luno, Hinch, Cora, and Beltran, and that's it?
Luno and Hinch were easy for me. Actually, Luno, Hinch, and Cora were easy for me. When you look at the facts that were found by the investigative unit, Luno was the baseball official, the highest ranking one. We reached the conclusion he either knew or should have known what was going on and that he did inadequate things to prevent this type of behavior even after he was warned about it. So that was easy for me. AJ, I mean, look, AJ's been very open about what went on. He knew it was happening. He didn't stop it. He was there every day. I mean, that's kind of the end of the story from my perspective. And, you know, I don't want to say too much about Alex because we have an open investigation there. I will say the investigators confirmed what was in the original article that started all this, that Alex was at the core of what's going on. The tough one for us was Carlos Beltran because of his status. He was a player, right? And the activity took place while he was a player, and he was covered by the immunity. The reason we ended up mentioning him was credibility. He had been mentioned so prominently in the original article. We thought that to not explain what we found about Beltran, people would see it as some sort of a lack of transparency, and we really wanted to avoid that above everything else.
And the Mets kind of did him a solid too, Seth, by firing Beltran, because now there is at least some sort of pound of flesh that was extracted from Carlos Beltran right. In this whole thing.
And Carlos Beltran was a little sticky as well, because in this interview, Luno at length explains exactly why they chose to give the players immunity.
Manfred, excuse me.
Did I say Luno?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll tell you another thing about this interview.
Yeah.
If there's one thing that finally in this interview we've discovered and we actually have some clarity on the situation, is that nobody in baseball actually knows the correct way to pronounce Jeff Luno's name. We really don't know if it's Luno right. or Luno. I know Jim Crane usually says Luno.
Yeah.
Both these jokers were saying Luno.
People who work with him have different pronunciations.
Most other people say Luno, so there we go. But as far as deciding whether or not to go after Beltran, you have this guy that's straddling both pools.
Yeah.
Is he a player? Is he a coach? And they treated him like a coach. But yeah, I wonder at some point, I guess, they decided to give all the active players immunity. At some point, they had to tell Beltran, I suppose, right, that Beltran is doing this interview and he wasn't granted immunity the way that the players were.
Well, did he get punished by baseball in this thing? He got fired by the Mets.
Oh, that's a good question.
Yeah, I think he was treated like a player.
Okay, so he was treated like a player.
Yeah,
so basically,
I mean, the Mets
any players
him.
From 2017.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So the Mets punished him by you know, taking his dream job away from him before he even managed a baseball game.
Yeah.
But he was treated like a player in the whole thing.
The other thing, I mean, and then he's going to be punished. I mean, he's a Hall of Fame candidate, you know.
He's not making the Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
now.
And again,
he was fringe to begin with.
The great irony of all this is that he's the guy who benefited the least from the actual cheating.
Yes,
I created
this system that got me excommunicated from baseball and made me worse at my job.
It's really almost kind of like if you wrote it in a fairy tale or something about how to tell kids why not to cheat or how to cheat. In terms of the individuals, look at what happened here. Carlos Beltran's the guy who drove it, and he benefited the least from it, according to the Astros' internal documents. And then Jose Altuve, it looks like there's a very, very good chance that Jose Altuve benefited zero from this and didn't want anything to do with it, and yet his Hall of Fame candidacy is going to be damaged, threatened by this because of a scheme in which he didn't participate.
Yeah, this it'll get mentioned for sure when his time comes. Seth, you mentioned Luno's role in this whole thing. Jim Crane was given orders, as all the owners were. This memo, the owners and the GMs were given the memo in September of 2017 about the new punishments for electronic sign stealing after the Red Sox Apple Watch scandal. Jim Crane's direct orders to Jeff Luno were to follow the edict of the commissioner.
He did instruct Jeff Luno to make sure that they were behaving in compliance with the rules. When that happened, I felt that, you know, his effort in that regard was sort of the key to the finding we made with respect to the owner.
And then Kyle Ravage, after this, does a really weird thing. He had kind of a stank face look on his face the whole time. It was annoying. So Manfred said that, and Ravage said, oh, and then he never followed up on it. Like, well, yeah, and Manfred says, yeah, because he's running other businesses. He told, when you tell your general manager, hey, take care of this, you trust that he takes care of it. Do you not?
Yeah, of course.
I stick up for Crane on this.
Yeah, no, of course. No, when you delegate, you expect it to be done. Are you surprised? I saw a lot of criticism over the weekend about this because we learned about the memo and about who it was given to and whatnot, but it's come under much more scrutiny that it was the owners and the general managers who were communicated to by the commissioner, and it was left up to them to communicate it with the players. I saw a lot of criticism over the weekend about the way this whole thing was administered and wondering, why didn't baseball just tell the players also? Why were they leaving it up to the individual teams to convey that message to the players? Why wouldn't you? I saw someone even suggest this, and I thought, as someone who's, you know, been in the corporate world both here and outside of radio, who's had to go through hundreds of different HR sort of presentations or videos, and you take these little online tests where you got to answer 10 questions to show that you know you're compliant with it. Why didn't baseball do something like that, where they came up with some sort of 5 to 10 minute video explaining what exactly you're being told not to do, and then make the players sign off on some sort of compliance thing?
Well, and even whether the players sign off on it or not, the NFL, when they do this and when they change, especially to the PED policy, when they make changes, there are posters and placards up in the locker room.
Yes.
In a place where you can't help but see it 4 times a day. They take I didn't know, out of it. Like, that's never going to be a defense. When they change the PED policy and they add a couple substances to it or something, they're never going to be able to have a player come back and say, well, actually, I didn't even know. Nobody told me.
Is the notification just posters on the wall or things that are posted everywhere? Or do they make you sign off on something saying, nope, I understand?
No, they don't make you sign off.
They don't. Anything. Okay. Yeah. Okay. But it's more than baseball.
I don't know. I shouldn't speak out of turn.
Sure.
Unless, as far as I know, they don't.
In your time as a player, yeah. It's more than what baseball did here, because there was a clear disconnect. Whatever message. Now, again, these guys are adults. Well, they knew what they were doing was wrong.
And Carl Ravitch has a good follow-up, which said that, well, shouldn't guys know? I think the answer to that, and again, I'm not excusing anything at all, but I do think you have to kind of remember the context in which this was happening, which was, okay, the Yankees and the Red Sox had been pinched for using electronics. A lot of people thought that they hadn't been caught doing a lot worse or more extensive things. So there was this culture in that time, at least in the AL, where players thought that the best teams were all doing all this stuff, and it was crazy and it was out of control.
Yeah.
And it was an arms race. And does that make it right? No, but it felt a lot like that. Just in the same way, it's ironic that some players this weekend said, well, this is worse than baseball, because in baseball, everybody was doing it. The same thinking or culture led to it. In baseball with steroids, it turned into, well, if all my competitors are doing it, or half of them are, a bunch of them are, I guess I have to, just to keep up. So where it snowballs. There was a little bit of that same hyper-competitive panic setting in 2017. So when the communication communication from the league doesn't come through, in my mind, yes, it does excuse it a little bit. Mm-hmm. Not completely and totally, but it gives some context to the whole thing.
Text message. Do the players even have email addresses?
These kids don't know what email is. They got to Insta it to them.
Yeah.
Manfred DM'd everybody.
Post the memo on an Instagram post.
Manfred got up and he tried to dress kind of what he thought was hip and cool. He had a backwards baseball cap and a gold chain.
He used a filter with a dog nose and ears. Yeah. His tongue, he stuck his tongue out a few times. So this gigantic, huge cartoon tongue would come out of his mouth.
And he started talking like a 1990s.
Right.
Fresh Prince era.
Oh,
rapper.
Will Smith. Yeah. The topic of buzzers obviously came up with Rob Manfred. Here's what he had to say.
We found no evidence, not a single witness who could corroborate that there were buzzers being used during the 2019 season. Indeed, that they were doing anything inappropriate during the 2019 season. Given that the players told us, you know, chapter and verse about 2017 and chapter and verse about 2018, it does give some credibility to the denials that were uniform about the use of buzzers in 2019.
Right. Now, that was the interesting quote. Of course, what he said afterwards is a quote that a lot of people ran with, which is he stated the logical truth, the mathematical truth, that he could never say 100% that they didn't use buzzers,
right,
because it's impossible to say
that. So that means to some there's a 95% chance they used them.
Well, to some people that was like Manfred saying, well, you know, it just, That's the annoying part of it. The headline becomes that. When, yep. In effect, he's saying, this is what you need to know. Manfred and this team interviewed 70 people. The players were given immunity. They spoke freely and at length about everything that happened in 2017, admitted to all that wrongdoing. Yet, you want me to believe, people out there would have you believe that somehow 70 people all got on the same page and not a single one of them said something about buzzers in 2019, but buzzers were actually there. This is what's driving me insane, is people are acting like any rumor they hear must be true. Yeah. Because the Astros were guilty in 2017, they think it's okay to say, well, everything that I hear about 2019 is true too. And it's driving me insane.
Don't go insane. I 100% understand the skepticism by people outside of Houston towards anything related to the Astros. I get it. I understand that. The people who are stating that they definitely used buzzers and stating it as fact, to me, Seth, sound like Kyrie Irving talking about the earth being flat. They sound like flat earth truthers to me. That they're that they are that strong in their convictions that the Astros used a scheme where they're attaching electronics to their bodies in a game, that they are that convinced that it definitely took place, sound like flat earth truthers to me.
Yeah.
They sound crazy. They sound insane.
It's and I guess the disappointing part to me, and the Astros did this to themselves. Correa said as much. They did it to themselves. But it shouldn't. If you're a person who's acting like you're standing up for integrity and you're shouting down the dirty cheaters, then perhaps you should have a little integrity yourselves in how you go about doing
it. That's not a bad point.
That it shouldn't just be, oh, okay, yeah, this is going to be a Salem witch trial, and anything we say, we're just going to call you guilty no matter what.
And be careful. Make sure your house is in order. Some of these players that are speaking out about the Astros, do we honestly think the Astros and the Red Sox are going to be the last teams where we learn definitively that some sort of cheating took place? Mm-hmm. I don't. I think something's going to come out about some other team. I'm not saying baseball is going through investigations of other teams. There will be another Mike Fiers. There will be another player that goes to the media because they feel jilted by a former team. They're not going to be – Fiers still has a career to think about. There will be players with a lot less to lose than Mike Fiers who will give an interview to The Athletic or any other outlet. And I hope it's one of these teams like the Dodgers, the Yankees, whatever team Trevor Bauer is playing for. I hope it's one of those teams that gets caught in the crosshairs.
Fiers was given the opportunity this week to comment on Carlos Correa's assertion that Jose Altuve wasn't a part of this scheme. So Correa said Altuve, Reddick, and Tony Kemp wanted nothing to do with this.
Right.
Fiers was given a chance to comment on that, and he did not.
Interesting.
And it's maybe that's his policy, but this part of it, I don't like shaming the whistleblower or anything like that. I don't want to get into that culture. But if he has a chance to stick up for Jose Altuve in something that might affect his Hall of Fame candidacy, I mean, it definitely will affect it, whether it's conclusive or not.
Right.
That's bothering me. That's annoying me. And I wonder, what did Altuve ever do to Mike Fiers?
I wonder if that's just going to be his policy, because you remember his first interaction with the media, Seth, heading into spring training.
Yeah.
He didn't want anything to do with answering questions about anything having to do with this scandal.
Right, right.
It could just be the policy.
Well, because like it has it happened with Carlos Correa, when you stick up for those three, you are also saying the rest of us are totally 100% guilty, which they are, you know, and Correa admits it.
Yep.
That's what's driving me crazy too, Sean. The people acting like Houston fans aren't admitting anything.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we're totally and freely admitted, of course. We're not calling these guys. It's just, of course they obviously cheated in 2017.
We admit they did it, and they sucked at apologizing for it. We admit all these things.
They were fine in the press conference.
Yeah.
The press conference.
Yeah. There's a lot of outrage going on about this whole thing.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.